First Contact by Matthew Griffiths. He looked just as I would have expected from the pictures. I smile and offer him my hand. Hello, my name's Bernice. His skin is not nearly so rough as I was expecting. He bows his head, and anticipating his kiss, I slip my hand away and smile firmly. He straightens with some dignity. Victor. He beams, casting an eye around our surroundings. Take a seat. Shall I get us a drink from the, bar? Thank you, my dear. I nod a little uncertainly and go to the drinks mat. Opie suggested the high-tech gear should be out of sight. It would keep the ambience ambiguous. That must be why it was so dark in here, too. I return to the booth where Victor's waiting. He seems unfazed by what little he can see of the surroundings. I slide the drink across to him. Cheers.
Cheers.
It tastes rather acrid. Opie said it would be authentic, though. Good to make them feel at home.
So, my dear, what brings you to Cormorgon?
I like old things.
Well, I suppose someone of my advanced years should find that reassuring.
I chuckle.
Oh, come off it, you're older than I look.
You and me both, says I.
Now, now, don't think I'm going to ask about your age. A true gentleman
probably wouldn't be in a place like this, either.
Touché.
He leans into the light, smiling.
It is true. I wouldn't normally venture into so dark a corner of a drinking house as this.
You don't know the half of it, mate.
But then I would never have met you, Bernice. Do tell me about yourself. I mean, what do you like, apart from old things?
I take another sip of the drink. That covers a lot of it, actually.
I'm sorry?
I mean, I'm an archaeologist. And you?
Ah, archaeology. I must say I was hoping for some chemistry myself. Sheesh. I, my dear, am a tradesman,
he continues. Uh-huh. What's your line? He smirks.
Tools that might be familiar from your line of work.
You make corkscrews?
No, digging equipment.
Trowels? Shovels?
More in the agricultural line.
He sips his drink and waves a hand. I'd better get on with this. I only get a few minutes with each of them. Though Opie assured me that would be long enough to find out all we need to know. Well, there's a thing. I'm interested in this place, and its technology in particular.
I thought it was old things that appealed to you.
Well, it depends on how old the technology is, doesn't it? Are we talking seed drills or laser ploughs? He seems evasive, fidgety.
Life in the country is very dull, my dear, and still full of drudgery. Your profession sounds rather more interesting. Please tell me about it.
I take another nonchalant sip from my spirit. Oh, you know, I dig up fabulous old treasure, evade ancient curses. This stuff tastes better, or at least less bad, each time.
Unearth the truth?
I uncurl my index finger from around the glass and point at him.
Like your plains people, for instance. I'm wondering whether you can tell me anything about them.
I understand they have an interesting history.
You mean the blood plains?
Then the buzzer goes. Ah, says I, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
Time's up. But you know how to pique a girl's interest. Catch you later. He was rather nice, wasn't he? Opie ventures. Nice, maybe. Useful? I wobble my hand in the universally non-committal gesture. It might have helped if we'd had longer to chat. I did explain the procedure, Professor. The Mant field only gives you so long, at least for the moment. I'm not really used to doing things this way, I confess. Just relax. Opie's not looking at me, but I can tell he's smiling. First time's bound to make you nervous. There's a picture on the screen in front of him. Here, we've got another one for you, a little closer to what you were after, perhaps?
Rugged,
bare-haired, not properly shaven, a little more weather-beaten than the last candidate. He's cute. Oh, I wouldn't say no. Opie consults his clipboard and flicks a few controls. Well, you'd better get out there, then. As I head back to the bar, I wonder whether there was a note of disappointment in Opie's voice. This one looks like he's been around a few more blocks than the last. His handshake is firmer, less mannered, too. I'm Bernice, I tell him. Don't worry, it's all perfectly normal. I should say so, he chuckles. Many's the time I met a beautiful woman in a tavern, if we are in a tavern. Of course, I chuckle nervously. Where else would we be? The portal was supposed to appear inconspicuous, so far as they're concerned. Anyway, this one seems more than at his ease without my help. I clap my hands together and ask, Now, what'll you have? Something tasty and fine-bodied, he suggests, looking me up and down. Cheek, I mutter. As I return from the drinks mat, he seems distracted, at least until he gets a whiff of the wine. It's a generous glass I set down before him, probably more generous than it would have been if I had to pick up the tab. I slide into the booth opposite him. Soupy twist. Your health, my dear. And my fine body? He snorts with laughter. I take a swig and a good look at him. If anything, this wine is rougher than the first drink. Then again, Opie said that they were on a limited budget. You didn't tell me your name. Gustan. Gustan Hanver, but please call me Gus. Bernice. I have to stop myself adding Benny. Want to keep things professional. Tell me about yourself, Gus. What is there to tell? Gormaskon is not much of a planet for stories. That's not what I heard. At least, not until you came along. It's a fair cop. And what is that story, Bernice? I squint over my drink. My story? My story is that I am here to find out about the people. I look at him as squarely as I can. In particular, the Plains people. Man of the world like yourself, Gus. You ever heard of the Blood Plains? He seems a little deflated at the professional quality of my interest. Oh, you poor fair creature. These plains are scarcely a place for a lady. Well, I'm sure I'd be right at home there, then. He nods, not sure how to take this, then bends forward, his heavy brow bunched into sincerity. There are legends of creatures that stalk the plains in the guise of men, and women, and women. He lets a tooth glint in a smile. Incubi and succubi that come unannounced into our world. They have their way with our kind and bring half-breeds into the world. Something about this unpleasant prospect makes him take my hand. I ease from his grasp, drum my fingers on the table, then grab the stem of my glass and neck the remainder of my wine, which is most of my wine. Would it be melodramatic of me, I say, suppressing a burp and a shudder at the same time, if I said I thought they were more than legends? I wave the glass at him. Same again? Gus gulps down the remainder of his wine and passes me his glass. I swagger to the drinks mat and have successfully returned to the table with a pair of refills when something occurs to me. These stories about the creatures must go back some way, right? How do you mean? I hold the glass steady so I can get a good look at it. Only, as soon as it's still, the rest of me seems to go into slow orbit around it. Takes time for a historical record to become myth. I pause halfway through the word, trying to remember whether it needs the lisp or not. Mythology. It's how civilization develops, how it incorporates the unexpected. I think it must have been some time since whatever happened on Gormaskon happened, so far as you're concerned. I frown until the glass in front of me behaves itself, and Gus nods doubtfully. I point vigorously at my own chest as I take another gulp of wine. This is archaeology in action, mate. I like it, says Gus. Not sure I do. The buzzer goes again. I swing my legs out from under the table and push myself to my feet with my free hand, then saunter away, as nonchalantly as I can, before he disappears. What did you think of him? Opie asks. He was a bit lively, wasn't he? That's kind of the point. History brought to life. I try to shut one eye to focus on Opie, hoping that my upper eyelid doesn't somehow miss my lower one. He gets slightly less blurry, but slightly dimmer at the same time.
Does it have to be so dark in here, too?
I told you the field generator is sensitive.
Ah, you're a romantic.
Might be. In that case, I tell him, I'm sorry to let you down. Gus is not the one. Pity. Opie doesn't sound like he means it, though. I pause and steady myself against the edge of the generator controls. Would you mind not leaning on that? Like I said, sensitive. Aren't you just... I straightened up, spreading my arms for balance, and only when I slosh wine over my hand do I realise that I'm still holding the glass. I take another sip.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll have another one, if you please.
I wave my free hand at the control bank, encourage him to carry on.
I'm building a picture up, diachronically speaking.
Right, sure.
Look, there's dating, and then there's dating, okay? And you employ me to do the second kind, as in the dating of dates, 1492, 1606, 2006, that's that sort of thing, not of men.
You don't need to tell me.
You asked me to work out when they were first contacted by off-worlders. Somewhere on the plains, you said it happened?
I wave the glass at Opie. Give us another look at your notes. He passes me the clipboard and I review the information, seeing if I can make any connection with what my dates have told me. Here are the illustrations of Cormorgon's bygones, the sudden burst of technological development, the reproduction of a manuscript fragment mentioning the blood planes. Not remarkable as these sorts of planets go, but there are gaps in the record. I can see why Opie's interested. When I absent-mindedly start to wipe the wine off my hand on the paper, Opie snaps his fingers impatiently, and I hand the clipboard back to him. He puts it back on the desk, and I stick my tongue out at his back.
You still haven't told me how this contraption... I gesture at the dark desk again, losing no wine this time as it's lower in the glass. Actually works.
The seat wriggles uncomfortably with its occupant.
We're refining that. That's why we enlisted you.
He punches buttons and slides controls until another face appears on the screen, though I can't quite make this one out. Must just be the darkness. Opie gestures back to the bar. This one goes all the way back to the earliest records we have, he says.
Thank you. I head for the bar again. Wait a minute. We enlisted you.
You wanted a date, didn't you? Better not be late. Rather than trying to look at the peculiar surroundings, the woman who is waiting for me is staring at her hands and scarcely looks up when I come in.
Hi, I'm Bernice. How are you doing?
Pleased to meet you.
She shakes my unsteady hand with a firm one, a farmhand's firm hand. She's dressed in a long, simple smock, gathered at her waist, and her dark hair is tied back. Her look matches the earliest records for her.
You often come to this bar? Tavern?
I ask her. She stares blankly.
I mean, hostelry.
She looks around herself, unsure what to say. So I say, there's nothing to worry about.
Renner.
Renner! This place is safe. I've been here a while. As if to prove it, I find I am waving my empty, wineless glass at her.
Would you like a nice drink?
Yes. Yes, please.
I'm guessing. You strike me as the small beer kind. She eases into a smile. With her full lips and rosy face, it's rather charming.
Please, Bernice. Yes.
Benny. Call me Benny.
Thank you, Benny.
I go to the bar and operate the drinks, Matt. I take a deep breath, determined to sober up a little and take this more seriously, then carry a pair of small beers back to Renner in the booth.
So, Renner, tell me about yourself.
Not much to tell. Left on the land all my life, see?
And that's exactly what I'd like to know about. Is it just you out there?
Oh, we're all scattered about, aren't we? On our farms.
On the plains, the blood plains, that's what we call them. Skaw.
And why are they called that?
Renna looks down at her fingernails. Not sure. That's just what my mam told me.
What her mam told her?
Something to do with being fertile, I suppose. She flicks her gaze at mine. What am I doing here, Bernice? There's a lovely burr in the way she says my name. Just having a drink, Renna. A nice drink and a chat. I try a smile at her and take a sip of my small beer, though I'm not altogether sure what's small about it.
I'm interested in life on Gumsgons, so.
I put on a sober face.
Are there many people who remember why the Blood Plains are called the Blood Plains?
My great-grandma. She was there.
Really? Was she... I mean, she survived.
Survived what?
Whatever happened.
Renna frowns. I can't tell whether she knows what I'm talking about and I've touched a nerve, or whether she's just baffled. To be on the safe side, I reach across, put my hand over hers.
I'm sorry if this is hard for you.
She smiles a little sheepishly.
No need to be. It's good to talk to someone like this.
She runs her fingers over my knuckles.
Don't nobody ask, usually.
My own smile is more naturally encouraging this time.
Good, that's good to know.
I wonder.
Do you have anything from her? Your great-grandmother?
Don't have much of anything, few keepsakes. She looks coyly at me now.
Could show you if you like.
We could be onto something.
Yes, I'd like that.
Do you like another beer, Benny? I hadn't noticed that either of us had finished. I gently untangle our hands.
Don't worry, I'll get these.
I take the glasses and return to the drinks mat.
How hard to push this. I think she knows more than she's saying.
But she may not know she knows. I'm clearly deep in thought as I return to the table.
What's the matter?
Renna takes a mug from me. I take a slurp from mine. Are these getting more potent?
It's a funny old business, history, isn't it?
I pontificate.
Doesn't make much more sense when you've been there either.
I rub the back of my head, realising that this gets beer in my hair, but Renna doesn't seem to register my slip.
Or from there.
She holds her glass up and gestures. I do the same.
Then here's to the future.
She winks. I smile back at her and take a drink. After a pause, I ask her, would it help if I told you that it was going to be all right?
The future. How would you know then?
She thinks I'm teasing her.
I'm a scientist, you see. I look into the past and I can work out what's going to happen in the future.
That's why I want to find out about the blood planes, you see.
A lady scientist?
I can't tell whether she's teasing me or simply incredulous.
I don't know either of us are ladies.
Ha ha ha, you've been talking to Gus. She chuckles too, and we're both chuckling by the time I realise that she can't know someone from at least a century in her future. Unless... We both stop laughing. Renna lifts her skirts and runs into the dark of the bar faster than I can even try to stand. Well done, Benny. I pull myself to my feet again. Remember, I'm still holding the glass, down the remainder of the beer, then follow her. Opie's still hunched over the monitor when I get there.
Have you seen her?
Yes, not that good-looking, I thought. Not your type.
I mean, did you see her coming through this way?
He looks around with exaggerated insouciance.
Nope.
I suspect she was spirited back to her point of origin in the space-time continuum. I told you the Mantfield isn't all that reliable, not yet. But he still won't catch my eye.
I'll say.
I try to squeeze in beside him at the controls to see what he's up to, but he elbows me out of the way.
Careful, careful!
You don't know what you're doing. I back off, my hands up.
Listen, mate. You were the one who called me in to help out with all this.
He tuts, rather than saying anything.
You were the one who said that my experience would be invaluable.
Yes, but it's your endorsement we want. Once we've got that, We get our money and we can put you on a nice retainer. Ah, sod the retainer. I can't believe I just said that. I must be drunk. Either something's gone wrong with this equipment. Like I said, the equipment is a prototype. It's temporal, experimental. Or you're hiding something from me. I keep telling you the Mant field is very difficult to finesse. Or both. Your kit is on the fritz and you're keeping secrets from me. He stands up abruptly. Look, it's not an exact science. Then let me take a shifty. Just as Opie makes a move to stop me, I dodge round him and he tumbles from his chair to the floor. I turn to see if I can help. I'm nothing but hard. But when I steady myself with a hand on the computer bank behind me, it lurches to one side. Don't! But the bank has swiveled out of its housing. Only it's not a bank. It's just the casing. And what's left is only a smallish computer on a trolley with a lonely-looking cable trailing off into the dark. Where I imagined, where I was told there was an entire Mant field generator, it's empty space. Phew, I marvel. All mouth and no trousers you are. So, this screen up here, I see, is mounted in a plywood frame, and behind it all there's a canvas panel. Experimental, it's experimental, I can hear Opie muttering as he gets to his feet. Actually, no, he's not what I can hear muttering. I lay my ear to the canvas. There are people behind here. Are they part of the experiment too? He makes a grab for my ankle, but I kick him away. I try to get a purchase on the canvas, at which point the voices on the other side fall silent, which makes it all the more certain that I am not imagining them. I get hold of enough of it to rip it, then thrust my fingers in, running my hand up and down until there's an opening I can stick my head through. Looking sheepishly round at me from a couple of banquettes, where they had been getting their story straight, are my three dates. Renner at least had the decency to murmur, "Sorry." What I realise first of all as I haul myself through the hole and into the room beyond is that Renner and Gus must have had plenty of opportunity to compare notes on their conversations with me while they sat in this green room. There is a table between them, covered in half-empty bottles and vacuous magazines. Just before my foot goes into this any deeper, I say, can I just check whether any of you are actually from the past? I mean, with respect to this point in Cormisgon's history. They all look sheepishly at me, muttering under their collective breath in a way that can only be negative. Honestly, I've had students more lucid than you lot. We're archaeologists. It's his project, Victor says limply, gesturing at Opie, who is squeezing his way into the green room behind me. Opie is nodding sadly. It is, but it's a failure. Or rather, it's not as advanced as we let on. No kidding! The Mant field has had teething troubles. It hasn't really been conjuring anyone from the past, so these guys stood in until we could get it working. And how were you going to do that? We just need more funding. We reckoned if you endorsed us, we'd get what we were after. I mean, you know him, after all. He points, pointedly, at one of the magazines on the table. It's Entropy! A real rag. And wouldn't you know, there's a papped picture of yours truly on the cover falling out of a bar with the President of the Universe. I snort. So you pretended it was working and got these clowns to stand in? Says Opie. You didn't think I'd rumble you? Well, no, Opie protests. Well, the Mant field is still working, sort of. I mean, it's exciting, the Chronons and everything. And anyway... Anyway? Opie rubs his neck. We wanted to meet you. He steals a glance at the cover of Entropy. What? Gus pipes up. We had a small wager to see if you might, you know, hit it off with one of us. Seriously? There's a noise, and we all turn to look back through the rip I made in the canvas flat. What's that? I ask Opie. It's the field generator, he mutters, squeezing back through the torn wall. Well, where is it if it's not part of all that gear? We could only afford to rig a small one.
I struggle through behind him and find him fishing a piece of kit from between the panels. It's about the size of a rugby ball and has a cable dangling from it. I'm not above pointing and laughing. That's the generator! I slap one of the plywood panels. Size isn't important, though it does seem to be working properly after all. How do you mean? He keys some readings from the generator into the monitor. I mean, you've got another date. I steady myself on the bank. Listen, mate, three strikes, you're already out. Honestly, it's not one of us. Look, it's real this time. It's actually someone from the actual past. He stands away from the monitor and gestures excitedly at the face it displays. You sure you're not with them? I cross the booth, bottle and glasses in one hand, the other extended to shake that of the newcomer. He looks at it in puzzlement, but does not offer his in return. I shrug and pour him a shot, being sure to take one for myself as well.
Them?
He asks, tipping the drink towards him and sniffing it suspiciously.
What is this place?
I neck my shot to show him it's all right, though it's the worst of the lot. I shake my head, and as he comes back into focus, I see he's younger than the others. Dark-haired and pale, and simply clothed in a way that makes it all the more obvious that the others were wearing costumes.
You really don't know? You don't remember going through a strange door you'd never seen before? I was just stepping out the back to, well, you know.
Back of what?
The alehouse. And you've never seen a place like this before?
He's certainly looking round with more interest than any of the others did.
It's not the privy, he frowns. Not anywhere, in fact.
In all his prep, Opie never mentioned the facilities.
Let me see if I can find out where the gents is,
I tell him. The young man nods, getting to his feet and shuffling uncomfortably as I head back to the control room.
Where's the loo?
Loo? Asks Opie.
Toilet! For our guest!
You'd better hurry up. You don't want that youngster pissing over your project. I mean literally as well as figuratively. Oh, behind the bar. There's a way through to the staff area.
Right.
Victor, Gus and Renner are all still sitting around. None of them will catch my eye.
You'd better stay out of sight.
Don't want your past catching up with you. I'm crossing the bar to find the young man, but an older chap suddenly appears in front of me, holding a glass of ale.
This yours?
He asks, pointing at the drinks mat.
It's a bloody marvel! Hang on, where did you come from?
Come to make sure Heston hasn't fallen in.
Behind the newcomer, there's a sound of a flush. After a moment, there's another. Then another. Eventually, the young man reappears from behind the drinks mat.
Here he is, beams the older chap. Didn't know you had your own still out here, Heston.
Oh, it's not mine, Nate. Think it's hers,
says the young man, nodding at me. Then he thumbs over his shoulder.
Found the closet, thanks, missus. How does that work, then?
You're a bit before its time, which reminds me.
Why haven't they switched off the Mantfield? What's that, then?
Asks Histon. Oh, never mind. Oh, why do I always have to deal with these things? And when I'm drunk as well. I hurry back to the control room, and I turn to yell to Histon and Nate to stay put, but Nate is already leaning through the dark door at the back of the room and yelling to whoever is on the other side.
Come in here, you lot! Drinks are on Histon!
There had better be a very good reason why you haven't switched off the Mantfield. I am fuming.
I'm trying, says
Opie between clenched teeth. Victor is dawdling at his side, Renner is dozing on the couch, and Gus is drinking morosely by himself.
Oh, give it here!
I grab the generator, and for a moment we struggle over the thing, which is heavier than it looks. Then I let go, catching the cable instead. As Opie stumbles backwards, the generator comes free. There is a brief flicker on the screens and a whine of the equipment powering down. There is a moment of silence.
You've broken it, whispers Victor.
If anyone's broken it, I hiccup, it's Opie.
Opie sets the generator on the desk and has a look at the monitor. I don't think either of us have.
The field stabilised.
Ha, 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 ha! I start to clap my hands slowly. Well done! It works! Then I purse my lips,
which I guess means you don't need my help.
Hey, you lot! There's more in here!
Nate cheerfully barges into the control chamber behind us. Gus springs to his feet and staggers into the control room.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Frowns Nate. He swipes the glass from Gus and has a swig of it.
Mmm, you got any more of this?
Gus snatches the empty glass back. Not for you, no. I can see where this is headed. They're already squaring up to each other.
Gents, please!
As one, they ease me aside. Histon is at the door to the control room, and I can see some of Nate's other mates are behind him. Victor is already retreating into the green room, and he passes Renner, who has ripped out one of the smaller canvas flats and is edging into the room to help Gus. I grab the clipboard off the desk and use it to usher Opie back through the wall. They have the decency to let us through before it all kicks off behind us. We've propped up some of the panels by heaping the furniture against them, and ourselves against that, and occasionally they shudder as someone is thrown against the other side.
"This wasn't supposed to happen," wails Opie.
I tap the notes. "Nope, this is exactly what was meant to happen." Opie rubs his eyes and continues to stare at the opposite wall, but Victor at least asks,
"How do you mean?"
"You wanted to establish when the rest of the universe first made contact with Cormascon, right? Because there was no evidence of off-worlders or colonists, nothing in the DNA record." But there was
a sudden step forward in technology,
breathes Victor. I nod. No more than a step through that lavatory door out there. The wall rattles again, knocking over one of the couches. Opie scrambles to get his feet out of the way.
It looks increasingly like you were the first contact you were looking for, doesn't it?
There's a pause that doesn't go on long enough because Opie splutters,
"It can't be true! The Mantfield wasn't nearly powerful enough to...
I don't suppose you turned the field strength up when you didn't think it was working?"
"Maybe."
"Well, that's why you've ended up with a permanent connection, bloody amateurs!" One of the canvas flats topples onto the floor. Histon is standing behind it, looking sweaty and breathless.
"Oh, sorry about the mess, missus."
He offers me his hand and helps me to my feet.
"Nate does get a bit rowdy when he's had a brew or two."
"I know the feeling," I say, rubbing my head. Victor is trying to comfort Opie, but his friend whines.
"We were supposed to go down in history."
Nate blunders in beside his young friend.
"Any more drinking here?"
Opie finds a half-full glass under one of the couches.
"Take it!"
His voice is a terrified squeak. As he hands the glass to Nate, he stumbles, and the glass slips out of his hand, splattering red wine all over Nate's dirty clothes. Nate has found the bottle, though, and swigs from it instead.
"This is no beer,"
he shouts enthusiastically.
"This is the blood of a god. God's blood, plain and simple."
I shoot a look at Opie, who looks away embarrassed.
"And there we have your blood planes," I say.
"Well done. You have made history."